Hey there, Trish. So it's great to have you here in Austin here in June 11th. And before we start on camera, you were telling me about this incredible project you're behind, 10 Better. But now that we've got the actual recording going on, if you don't mind, start from the top. What does 10 Better mean in your mind?
10 Better came about because I truly believe that if every one of us in America just did 10% more, that we could rock the world. And one of the areas that I would really like to rock the world is in the area of fostering. And I would really love to have more and better foster homes throughout America. And we've decided that we're going to do Kentucky Kids Belong program. It's a program that we focus on Kentucky. We don't have anything to do with Kentucky, but it's a manageable piece of geography, and there's a need in that area of the country for more foster homes. And we're gonna try and do something. And with you playing a part in it, you being American citizens, hearing what we're saying and participating in what we're doing, we really hope that we can help the whole foster community in terms of more people participating in this very vital role.
Well, that's huge. That's huge. Trish, I've known you many, many years, but you covered a lot of territory in just one breath. I think let's unpack your idea and go a little slower. So 10% better. If everybody did 10% better, in what? In 10% less looking at their mobile phone while driving?
So let's call it 10% better in kindness. So kindness is not being mean. Kindness requires a purposeful step forward into making someone else's life better. So when I stepped back and looked at my life and how it's unfolding now and what is going on in the world, I can't control so many things. But with my background, there is a little area that I can make a difference in. And that's what we're trying to focus on now with this Kentucky Kids Belong.
Right. So you said, hey, there's so many different problems off camera before we started. There's so many different problems and there's so many different distractions and everything. But there's a lot of charities, a lot of things going on. But what could be more central to getting behind American children and improving their well-being, right? Fostering kids need a home, kids need to belong. And so that seems really grounded. Like, hey, we could care about a lot of things. We should care about a lot of things, climate change, a lot of other things. But pretty core to the future are children.
Children are core to so many things because as our childhood population grows up, they become adults and they bring with them the values that they learned when they were a kid. They bring with them the memories and the role models, and they emulate those role models. And we need to just have better role models on a daily basis. Normal people being nice, normal people showing how to work hard, normal people showing a kid what it means to have initiative. People can't do anything that isn't modeled for them. And if we can just get our kids right now that are sort of lost in space, if we could get them into homes so that they can have an opportunity to see how a stable, non-trauma household operates, then as they become adults, they will then model that same behavior, and we can create generational change that way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. For the people who maybe have trouble, maybe they're task saturated in their normal lives, maybe they've got bills on their mind or other distractions, problems, health issues. Like everybody's got problems. Everybody's got a whole list of problems. Can you bring it home, Trish? Like, why is it in someone else's interest, bluntly, that these kids that need a home get a good home? Why is it in society's greater interest?
The generations become our leaders, and leaders with good ethics, with good moral ethics, with good work ethics, with good educational practices, and that they teach themselves to be curious about things, to learn about things, to want to know more and more. These are our leaders. And now more than ever, we need leaders that are going to step up and make good, solid moral decisions. You know, I do recognize it's a big ask to ask someone to invite another kid into their home. A child that you don't know what their issues are and you don't know how they're going to interact with your other children. It's a big ask. But I'm a Christian and I do the what would Jesus do thing. I don't wear it on my sleeve unless you know me well. But we're asked to do this kind of work. We are asked to help the underprivileged, to feed and to house. We are asked to do these things. And like I said earlier, kindness is not just being mean. It requires a sacrifice. So we're just really looking for example, in the state of Kentucky, 600 more people to step up and look at their situation and say, hey, maybe I can make it happen for this kid. For perspective, if you really think about it, isn't that, if you look at all of our churches here in Kentucky, if you look at all those churches, if one out of four of those churches, some person in one out of four of those churches, some family decided to make the sacrifice that, you know what, I have an extra bedroom. My kid just went away to college. Or we could easily, you know, throw up a dividing in our great room. You know, one person out of every four of our churches here. Like, isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't there 600 people in Kentucky that would be able to make that sacrifice and to demonstrate to a kid a different way of living that is more than trauma and abuse and moving all the time and never having a place to put their toothbrush?
Right. When we talk about fostering kids, it's very quick to get to that point of, we know it's a heavy ask, we know it's a sacrifice, but think of the need. You know, you and I have been friends maybe 27, 28 years. I'm not Christian. I'm an atheist. Yet when I do good things for other people, kindness, without any expectation in return, I feel better. I feel lighter in being. I feel good about myself. And it's just a really weird thing to say, but like, doing good makes me feel good. I think that, I have never fostered a kid, but I got to imagine that it's got to feel great bringing a kid into your home and then creating a safe place for them and giving them that toothbrush that's actually theirs.
Well, you know, we were just talking about small acts of kindness, but I think practicing kindness is a muscle. Yeah. And the more you practice kindness and the more you practice giving and the more you practice other-directedness, the bigger your muscle is. So I know there's a lot of people out there in Kentucky that have really big muscles, and they've been practicing kindness for a very long time. But the act of kindness to a kid provides rewards that are, you know, that old commercial, priceless, right?
Yeah.
The love, priceless. How you feel when you connect with somebody. How you feel when they call you mom or when they turn around and they really call you dad. And yeah, they mean that. And the connection goes both ways. Priceless. When we raise our kids, there's a lot of sacrifices in raising our kids.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we do it because the love that's generated within the family unit is priceless.
I like the term priceless. There's other resonances to me as well. Like, in the modern society, we seem to spend a lot of effort and time and money to collect symbols of status, better looking cars, better looking clothes, better looking houses, all that kind of stuff. Maybe if we get a lot of money, we might go to our local university or a major university and go buy a building and stick our name on there. But this seems like a pretty accessible way to make a meaningful impact on the future of the universe. Like, it's a form of longevity, a form of impact that is to raise a child or have a significant impact on a child. And it's a way of carrying yourself a little bit forward or influencing the direction the universe goes a little bit. Like, it's not like, I guess what I'm trying to tease at, I'm trying to find the right words, but it's like, it's not like all cost sacrifice on your part. There's a return for you as a human to help these children have a better life.
The return is priceless.
Yeah.
End of story, right? The return is priceless.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with the numbers one more time. How many kids in Kentucky are in the foster care system? Approximately.
Close to 9,000.
Close to 9,000.
And that's what they say today. The actual hardcore numbers are a little bit lower than that, but they don't get updated that often. So I think the number's closer to about 9,000 right now.
Okay. And how many foster care homes are available today in Kentucky? Was it, like you said before the camera roll, I think it was 2,400, 2,600?
No, it was in the mid-2000s. And then the average number of children per home was more than two.
Right.
So that means some of those people are bringing in three kids. Maybe some of them are bringing in four because a whole lot of them are bringing in one.
Yeah.
So there's definitely an overcrowdedness. And in some of our sister states, and even we've looked into it in the state of Kentucky, they've had to get hotel rooms and they've had to put children up in hotel rooms, which ties up a social worker to be at that hotel room from a safety and a babysitting perspective. So that doesn't seem like a good use of Kentucky dollars.
Right, right. Okay, right. And so when you looked at other states that are perhaps investing more, got more awareness out for the foster programs, what does good look like? Is it two kids per foster house? Is it 1.5? What's ideal?
So what does good look like? I think for every family unit, they're going to determine for themselves what good looks like. You start getting into three children. If they're sisters, if they're siblings, oh my gosh, the person who brings in siblings so that the family isn't broken up, those people are saying special place for them.
Mm.
If you're just short on beds, so you're begging foster parents to take in another kid, that's probably not such a good situation. In the field of foster care, when you ask somebody what is good, we don't really have a good. There's no state that's doing good. Every state is searching for more homes. Every state is searching for more case managers. Most states have just an enormous vacancy rate in their job offerings for case managers. If you don't have enough case managers, what do you do? Who's managing the kids? Who is making sure those kids are staying safe? Who's managing the foster homes to make sure the people in the foster homes are as good as we think they are?
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of, there's just never enough to go around, right? Because your budget, my budget, there's just never enough to go around. So that's no different when a state has to decide how much money to allocate to fire safety, to police work, to infrastructure, to kids.
Yeah.
There's just never enough to go around in any category. But since fostering affects children, you know, we can come along our state and we can help them out.
Okay, great. And so cheekily tying it back to your foundation, 10 Better, if we've got approximately 2,500 foster homes today and we want to get to a number of, I think you said you want to get to at least 4,000 foster homes so that you've got a max of two, right? That's mm-hmm. the goal. And it takes time to get awareness out there. So if we were doing 10 Better this year, we'd get 250 more homes out there. Next year, do 275. And like the power of compounding interest, you'd get to 4,000 faster than you might think, right?
You can. If everybody did 10% more, if every church looked at their community and asked for one person to step up, we could be there in a year.
Huh?
Now, I know that you need to, I know parents need to think through a lot of things. They need to think of budget implications. They need to think of interactions with their current family members. They need to rest on this decision, right? It's not a snap. For most of us, it's not going to be a snap decision. And so that portion takes time. But really, if every church just stepped up and asked somebody in their church
right.
to step up, there's different kinds of fostering. You could be a temporary foster. There's prenatal fostering. There's not just one type of fostering. But these are discussions, you know, the household should have. And you can go to the website that we will show flash for you on the bottom of the screen, and you can find, you know, what are those things in Kentucky.
Right. Right. That's so exciting. So if you think about it, right, if the churches did 10% better, if the regular non-Christian people like me, regular atheists did 10% better, if the communities did 10% better, the school did 10% better, the politicians did 10% better, you could close that gap from 2,500 homes to 4,000 homes quite quickly. And then we could take those learnings and apply it more nationwide and get every kid to belong someplace.
Here's an interesting thought that I just had. So in California, we love our cars. And the citizens of the state want to have good road work. And it was budget restricted. So the citizens of the state put on the ballot a measure to raise taxes 2 cents per gallon per gas. And they assigned those funds to go for road work only. Yep. Measure M. So we've had a ton of road work in California. Our roads we just don't have too many people for our roads, and we get traffic jams, but they're way less. And if we had done nothing, they would have been way worse. So, hey, Kentucky, 10% better. Why don't you vote for yourselves to give 1 cent more sales tax on your items to help fund this urgent need?
Yeah, that sounds great. This is such a, I can't find words that doesn't make this sound trite, but like getting kids to belong in a safe and comfortable home, it just seems like such an obvious goal for society, religious or not. It's just such a good, obvious goal, and it seems so tractable and not a very big number that needs to be moved.
No, and we forget, like, when we are in a good home, we tend to think that everybody has a good home, and it's hard for us to fathom the bad homes.
Yeah.
And because it's not in our world, and it's not in our sphere of friendship.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of homes out there that just aren't safe.
Yeah.
And too hard to identify them.
Yeah.
That's very tricky. Very tricky to, even if they are identified, to remove the child to safety. Very tricky. Where are you going to put them?
Yeah.
Right? You need a home to put them in and someone who will care for them. So when you look around and you say, I don't see anything like that in my neighborhood, I think we need to realize that our neighborhood is not representative of the city, state, and country that we live in.
Right. But we are a nation. I happen to live here in Austin, and I'm not too worried about Barbary pirates coming up with their boats. And yet, my taxes go out for the U.S. Navy, and I'm pretty happy to have a Navy. I think investing in the kids, invest in the future, should be in that same class of infrastructure spend of national defense and courts and fire and police. You want smart, healthy, happy citizens in the future to maintain the well-being of the nation.
Right. Our goal is exactly that. Safe and happy kids that can become wonderful leaders for us as we move forward.
Okay, great. Well, we don't want to go on too long, but please do check out the website, check out the resources. If this is an opportunity that's great for you, of course, that's wonderful. But you know, you could help be 10% better if you just liked, shared, and sent this on to somebody else who you think could either be open to making a foster kid's life awesome, or they in turn could share it further.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.